Hey, everybody, it's Jill.
And this is Mel.
And this is Mel and Jill Geek Out. How you doing today, Mel?
I'm awake.
Same.
Which is the best way to start your day, even though it is actively like 7:30 at night.
Yeah. I'm dragging. I'm exhausted.
Samesies. It has been, I worked 6 days last week, and I have to work a lot of days over the next 2 weeks, and I'm just like,
It's tough to be a millennial working these days.
It's tough. Like, you're spending, fortunately, I live much closer to work than I did previously, but like, you're spending 9-10 hours with work, you know, including commute. Then you come home, you try to have like family time. Then you like want to have like extracurricular activities, and it's just like a lot. Like, my reading is kind of down, like mostly because I've been listening to a lot of Tortured Poets Department, and I do a ton of audiobooks, so can't really do both on my phone at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this, like I'm just tired.
Samesies. It's been a long week at work. It's been a productive week, but we have someone out, and so I'm doing things I'm not used to doing, and it's just a very, very busy week, and I have to travel, so I texted my husband today. I was like, I am booking this day off, and I want to go somewhere and relax. That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do anything else, so.
I love that. Yeah.
I think we're going to do it. So
you should. I'm eagerly anticipating my Amazon package today because I pre-ordered Funny Story, which is the newest Emily Henry book.
Ooh, you'll have to tell me how it is.
I know. It's her first fake dating novel. It's a very common trope where like the couple agrees to like pretend to date
for
varieties of reasons and then end up not being very good at faking it.
Gotcha.
And then just actually fall in love. But it's Emily Henry, so I have high expectations.
Was it her that I read or was it Tessa Bailey? I can't remember.
I think you've at this point read both, but I started you out on your romance can be fun journey with was it Book Lovers or was it Beach Read?
It's Book Lovers. Book I haven't lovers. Read Beach Read.
You would also really like Beach Read.
Okay. I'll add it to my list.
I will say there is Beach Read's like major like inciting incident off page is the death of a father figure.
Ooh.
So I will preface that.
Okay.
Like generally like the female main character's father has passed away, and in dying, her and her mother discover that he had a long-term girlfriend on the side, and they lived in this house by a lake together. And so the daughter is staying in the house. He left it to her. So she is staying in the house, renovating, cleaning it out, getting it ready to sell. And she is an author. And so she's also working on her next book.
This is Beach Read?
Correct.
Okay.
And the mother, part of what happens is the mother, when she was a child, had cancer, but she's fine now.
I'll put that on the maybe list.
Yeah, it's a very good read. I know the Jill specific trigger warnings.
I mean, I don't, yeah. I don't mind, like, my, for clarification, my mother passed away from cancer and I just a couple of years ago. So it's still kind of fresh and definitely punches me in the gut every so often. So for whatever reason, Iron Flame really, really upset me. I don't know why, because it wasn't really the same situation, but it did. It like struck a nerve. So Melissa's been very good about warning me ever since.
Yeah, because not to spoil things in Iron Flame, but like the way things happened in Iron Flame, it did not connect in my brain that it would potentially be triggering for you.
Yeah.
And or I absolutely would have said like, hey, I'm spoiling something for you, but that is because I need you to be emotionally prepared for this.
Oh yeah. To be fair, had I been in your shoes and like the roles reversed or whatever, I am not sure I would have put it together either. Mm-hmm. I had a very visceral reaction to it and Melissa was very kind about it. But it just weirdly hit a button that I didn't think it would. I wouldn't have thought it would have either, to be fair.
I think it's always surprising what kind of gets to people. Like there's very specific reasons in which I will not read "It Starts With Us"
okay.
or "It Ends With Us" because it deals with domestic violence.
Okay.
And even though I have personally never experienced it, members of my family have, and many of my friends have had those mm-hmm. types of experiences. And so it's just something that I do not think should be in any way, shape, or form glamorized. And it kind of a little bit is in that book.
Oh, no.
And I'm really adamantly against it.
That's fair. That's very fair.
So everybody has their things.
Yeah.
I don't like it when the dog dies.
I hate dog dying stories.
Like Old Yeller? No, thank you.
I don't think I ever read that because I knew it made my dad cry. So I was like, no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I read Marley and Me?
I saw the movie.
I did.
But at least
the movie was bad enough, but
at least it with like Marley and Me, the dog gets to be old. Like that I'm like more okay with than like Old Yeller, where Yeller defends the kid, which I do not remember the name of, and gets freaking rabies and has to get shot.
Yeah, that's awful.
It was horrible.
This isn't a book, but what was the name of that movie?
Give me a hint.
It's like Far Away Home or something like that.
With the ducks or the geese?
That's Fly Away Home, I think, or something like that. Okay, no. This is two dogs and a cat.
That get Homeward lost. Bound.
Homeward Bound. That's it. Oh God, love that movie. Absolute tearjerker.
Yes, when Shadow comes up so super slow at the end.
God.
Have you ever seen The Incredible Journey?
Yes, that was
because
so
Homeward
good
Bound
too.
Is like very loosely based on Incredible Journey.
Wait, maybe I was thinking you were talking about a sequel. So
no. That's like Lost in San Francisco or some silly nonsense like that. But Incredible Journey is a movie from like the 70s, has a golden retriever, a bull terrier and a Siamese cat, and kind of similar, like they get separated from their family and have to like trek through the wilderness. So like very similar like plot points, like the bull terrier, like in modern day Homeward Bound, it's a boxer, but like,
yeah,
you know what a bull terrier looks like with like the slopey face. So yeah, it's a really, but like how like the animals talk in Homeward Bound. They don't do that in Incredible Journey.
Okay.
So like it's more like they run into more humans who can do some talking for them.
I see. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On a very lighter note, Jesus Christ. We went way sideways.
Mm-hmm.
I will not go into them because we could spend another 20 minutes talking about it. But the Taylor Swift and Taylor Nation are dropping motherfucking Easter eggs all over the place.
Something is happening on May 3rd.
Yep. Don't know what it is.
Don't know. Don't entirely care.
Yeah. I'll say this. The best theory that I saw or proof that something's happening on the 3rd, it's a creator on TikTok. It's Nikki King 23. She has been right about so much. She was the one that figured out the 112 theory and all of that. So her math is solid.
Her math is mathing.
Her math is mathing.
I mean, my only complaint about her video that you sent me was it was really long.
Yeah, but they're very complicated things.
Oh, 100%. Like, I understand why it was the winding story that it was. I'm just tired. I have like next to no attention span.
Yeah. Ditto. I get you.
I need like a little snippet. I can never remember his handle, but the professor who talks about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
One of his clips came across my video on my feed, and he was talking about how he wouldn't have named one of his children after two of his abusers.
No.
But Harry definitely did.
It was an interesting choice for sure.
That's a way of putting it.
So tonight's episode is should be interesting. We're on episode 13.
Oh, about halfway through the season.
Yeah. Jax Attack is the name of the episode.
I mean, Jax is going to be back. Do we need to watch The Valley? I feel like we might need to start watching The Valley.
After the clips I saw, I think we really do need to start watching The Valley. That seems bananas.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. And I feel like they're prepping the audience for the transition because Jax and Brittany are both in this episode.
Mm.
So there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah. I mean, it's understandable. I think to a certain extent, some of these people are still friends.
Yeah. I think the Valley are actual friends.
Mm-hmm.
At least some of them are.
I think a lot of the VPR friendships have faltered.
Migrated.
At minimum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we see a little bit of that on this episode as well.
Yay.
So. But are you ready?
Yeah. Should we dive right in?
Let's dive in.
Awesome.
Per usual, we open with a little montage of everybody. I don't know what kind of store Lala and her brother were going into. It looked like a liquor store, but she's sober, so it couldn't be.
Yeah, it's for like the 0% spirits, which is a very LA thing to have.
Okay.
It's like having been in the hospitality industry, it is an up and coming trend of having like mocktails and things like that because Gen Z is actually not drinking nearly as much as like millennials and Gen Xers have.
It's because they're smoking pot.
Probably, but they don't drink as much.
Yeah.
So there is more like stuff around like non-alcoholic drinks.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good trend.
Mm-hmm.
So the episode really opens on James and Allie at their house. Mm-hmm. They're kind of discussing the dog a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, Allie doesn't seem too thrilled about sleeping arrangements, but Jack shows up. I don't know if anybody else caught this, but I saw it and I thought it was hilarious. It says ex-sir employee under Jax's name. I loved it. Not former co-star. Valley star.
Bravo can be spicy.
Oh, yeah.
In the subtitles. And like, they love to do this thing where they'll like flash back and say like 45 seconds earlier.
Yeah. Or they'll call people on their shit. Like, they'll give you a montage of you doing exactly what you said you didn't do.
Yup.
Yeah. But I wish they would do it more often, if I'm being honest.
Agreed. But I obviously, you got to pick and choose your moments.
They should do, what did they call those things? The look back or the reactions on Sister Wives? Like, sit them down.
Yeah.
Show them your shit and be like, you said X on this and you should... Why? Like, give me your answer. Like, can you imagine?
Oh my God, Sheena would cry.
Bravo. Please take a cue from Sister Wives. That was actually way more entertaining than either of us expected it to be.
Correct. I wish they had just, I don't know, released them on Max.
Yeah, I know. That was ridiculous.
That was the part where TLC fucked up.
Yeah. 100%. Thank God for TikTok.
Oh, thank God.
So they're talking about brunch. They have a brief conversation about Katie and how Jax doesn't like her. I don't think that Katie is talking shit. She has said that it is on Reddit that people are talking about Jax cheating. I don't think she mm-hmm. said that he is cheating to people. I think she said it's all over the internet. That's not the same thing.
Was. But I, from my understanding, some of the issues between Jax and Brittany go back pretty far to Stassi's wedding.
You mean Jax and Katie?
Yes. Yeah. I am so sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, is because Jax and Brittany did not go to Stassi's wedding.
Yes.
For stupid ass reasons.
Yes. They are pretending to the camera that they didn't get Cruz's passport in time. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they said, oh, it didn't work out. Everything kind of fell through. That's what they blamed it on. But you come to find, like, it never aired on Mm-mm. Bravo. So we'll never see the footage, but it does. Stassi has come out and said that they were told that they had been telling people for several weeks that they weren't going. They had mm-hmm. a golf tournament or something like that that they had planned that weekend. So I think that was part of it, mm-hmm. that they just lied about going. But two, it's like, okay, well, if you weren't actually going to follow through on it, you should have said something, because there was only a handful of people allowed to go. Mm-hmm. And it was expensive. So they took up spots where they could have had like more friends or family, not cast members, because it was being mm-hmm. filmed. So that's mm-hmm. why they were supposed to be going. So I rightfully so, I think Stassi was just like, you know what? I'm done. I don't mm-hmm. need you in my life. We're not friends. You aren't treating me like a friend. So good for her. And I think Katie just always, they always kind of picked at each other, you know?
Yeah, Katie and Jax never got along. I don't think Katie ever had anything against Brittany.
No, I think Brittany is a casualty of Jax's behavior.
1,000%.
Katie's not in the point in her life where she's going to tolerate being around people that she doesn't want to be around. Mm-hmm. And Jax is one of those people. So,
yeah, which is fair. But maybe since we know that Jax and Brittany are separated, we'll potentially see a rekindling between Katie and Brittany.
I hope so, because they used to be such good friends, and it's really mm-hmm. it's really sad to see that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think maybe that's probably why Katie's so hurt. It's like, Brittany should have known better. Mm-hmm. And she was being incredibly cagey about the whole thing. So I think she mm-hmm. knew, but just either couldn't or didn't want to say anything. And I think Katie was hurt.
Yeah.
It's like, you hurt my other best friend in a deep mm-hmm. way. Like, she could have had other people there. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of petty, though. Jax needs to get over himself.
Oh, my God. Jax definitely needs to get over himself.
He's allowed to hate everybody else, but nobody's allowed to, like, be mean to him.
Or have issue with him.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. He also brings up his and Lisa's relationship, which is his own fucking doing. Looks like it's been bad.
Yeah, he's the one who claimed the show was his. And it's like, Vanderpump Rules would not exist without Lisa motherfucking Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Even though she does not play much of a role in show anymore. Because no one really works for her anymore. Like, why would she?
Right.
Like, it is because of all of her that all of you have careers, essentially.
Right. So we may see that again.
I feel like James' explanation of the Jax Katie feud was like, you know, Jax has a pretty checkered history. So between the two of them, I'm going to believe Katie. And then he had like this very devilish smile. And I'm like, he probably knows something.
I think so, too. But even if he didn't, I think the fact that he was like, Katie's always honest. Like,
Can we just talk about how far James and Katie have come?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
From her essentially giving Lisa an ultimatum of it's James or me, to they kind of vouch for each other.
Yeah. I think they have a mutual, like, understanding that they were both young and stupid and assholes to each other, and they've both grown up, and they may not be besties, but I don't think they wish ill will on the other. It seems like the cast has kind of gotten to this point. It's like they're not friends. Like, some of them are. Mm-hmm. The whole group isn't friends anymore, but they all seem to have this mutual respect for each other. It's like, To an extent that it seems like people who used to be awful to each other have kind of like come to a common ground.
Yes, for sure. I think too, both Katie and James have done a lot of self work.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Definitely.
They've done a lot of work on themselves.
Definitely. Can I also just say I really enjoyed the little montage between James and Jax back in, like, what was it, 2016 or something like that?
Oh, my God. When he's like,
make the cosmopolitans.
Pop tea. Oh, my God. Like, most toxic version of James, 100%. But God, that line was funny.
It was fantastic. He is so good with the one-liners.
Oh, my God. So good. And Jax kind of asked for it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he did. He did. So I did find it funny, too, that James also told Jax to be the bigger person, which is hilarious coming from James towards Jax Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're going to move on to the next scene. We're at Sheena's and Brittany comes over. Mm-hmm. These two are friends in real life.
Oh, it makes sense. They have kids who are very close in age.
Right.
It makes sense.
Also, Sheena's best friends with absolutely fucking everyone. So yeah,
I'm pretty sure she's best friends with like The Rock or the Tumbleweed or
everyone.
Joshua Tree, Palm Tree, whatever.
They were discussing the husbands, Jax mm-hmm. and Brock, but it was really more Sheena kind of venting.
I disagree with Sheena.
About
like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm all for like dismissing of as many of like standard gender roles as possible, mm-hmm. but Sheena is speaking in the abstract, but when they flipped to Brock talking to his friend, Brock's big focus is not entirely, I want to be the main breadwinner mm-hmm. in my family. He wants to contribute financially to his family, but he mainly wants something that fills his cup. That was the first thing he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he absolutely deserves to have something that is fulfilling to himself.
Agreed. I think Brock is a little lost,
mm-hmm.
but doing a damn good job of trying to find something that mm-hmm. does that.
But he's not getting support from Sheena
no.
because she just kind of views him as child care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like,
I think she wants him to be a stay-at-home dad. I think she likes being the breadwinner. And mm-hmm. she's frustrated that he's not really on board. That he's like, no, I need something more than this.
And I think it's totally valid for him to need more than just
absolutely
watching his, like, yes, being a stay-at-home parent is a full-time job, very worthy work. I have absolutely no qualms with somebody if that is what they want to do.
Right.
But forcing someone to do it when it's not what they want is not going to have good results.
No. And I think that's why.
And that's where they are.
Exactly. That's where they are. Like, this is the, you're having the symptoms of the problem, and you're, mm-hmm. he's clearly communicating his issues to her, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this has to do with her OCD, but like, she will not let go at mm-hmm. all. She wants to be in control. And I think that that's part of the problem. Like, not only does she like being the breadwinner, but she likes being in control.
100%. And like, her explanation is like, she has all of these intrusive thoughts because of the OCD. And like, apparently there's rumors about Brock and Lala.
I haven't seen any of that at all. Like, that must be on some really fucking deep subreddit threads, because I haven't seen that. I really haven't.
I don't see Lala giving Brock a second glance.
No.
So.
No.
Because he's not at all her type.
But also, I think that they both, as shallow as Sheena is, I think that they both really love each other.
Oh, for sure.
The way they talk about each other, the way they both, even on TV, and I hope that it's the same way in real life, but the fact that they are communicating mostly in a healthy manner. I mean, they both lose mm-hmm. their tempers sometimes, but honestly, like, mm-hmm. kudos to them. For the most part, they keep it together. But
for sure,
I feel like Brock very clearly communicates his feelings and thoughts and opinions on things. And I think mm-hmm. I feel like Sheena's the one that's dismissing it.
She's not listening.
No.
And it's hard for me to watch Brock have to like force his viewpoint
mm-hmm.
into her in some kind of manner. But she says that one of the reasons why she hasn't gotten a nanny is because she's worried that he'll leave her for the nanny. And I'm like, he could leave you for anyone. Rando on the street. Like, this isn't a good enough excuse to not have childcare.
Yeah. Well, the fact that she's not taking medication anymore, and it seems to be that her postpartum OCD is pretty severe. Mm-hmm. She seems to be having a hard time functioning, if I'm being honest.
Yes. She needs, like, I say this with love, she needs to be medicated.
Absolutely. And I don't say that. I agree with you. And I don't think either of us are saying that in a way like, you're fucking crazy, go get some help. No, I think you are struggling more than you realize, and you kind of need to stick with it. Like, you can't,
you're body has a chemical imbalance in your brain that you are not going to just magically be able to fix on your own.
No, it takes like 3 months for those kinds of meds to like fully get into your system of taking it consistently as well. Mm-hmm. So if it's making you sleepy, you're not on the right dose or you're not taking it at the right time of day. Like there's definitely things that you can do for that kind of stuff. So I'm not, I don't know what she's doing now. I hope that things are better for her. And I hope that if, I hope she's following her doctor's recommendations, because if you don't, it can spiral so fast. And right now, I feel like she is spiraling. So. Anything else on this?
No, I mean, I feel like we talked through both of those pretty well.
Yeah. No. All right. Well, let's get back to it.
Let's do it.
So we went on some, a couple of interesting dates. We'll start with Schwartz and Katie's non-date. They're just friends.
It's nice to see them cordial.
I feel like it's a little bit more than cordial. It looks like they could be friends. But it also looks like Schwartz desperately is still in love with her.
Well, he's the one who fucked it up.
100%. And Katie has said, like, in interviews, I think within the last few years, that Schwartz definitely loves her, but he doesn't like her. And I, like, that really resonated with me. I've had partners in the past, and that is, it was so the case. And it's such a weird realization to come to. It's like, oh, yeah, it's not fun. So I'm glad that Katie recognizes that. So then, like, we can skip over the Tori stuff. It's just like a little bit of flirty friend blah, blah.
It's not a big deal.
No. Which brings us to the bigger conversation in this segment.
Sheena and Brock.
Sheena and Brock. They're on their anniversary dinner. Again, Brock is openly communicating, being vulnerable to his wife and being honest. And I feel like she... We said a few minutes ago, she likes him. She wants him to be a stay-at-home dad. And I feel like her comment where she said, have you ever thought about how this is your second chance to be a dad? I thought that that was such a disgustingly low blow.
Because he's still a dad to his first two children. He absolutely made mistakes, and he 100% owns that he made mistakes, but he's actively working on trying to prove himself so that he can establish a better relationship with those children. I'm sure he greatly appreciates all of the time he gets to spend with Summer Moon and seeing the growth in himself. And he even talks about that. Like, if he could talk to his 19-year-old self, he'd be like, you are going to be a good dad. You can do this.
Yeah. But I think it probably took some growing up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Most 19-year-olds are not prepared to be a parent.
No. No, definitely not. Here's the thing. I really hope he's putting his money where his mouth is, because I can only imagine what it looks like from his kids' point of view in Australia that he left them, went to the US, it didn't work out. He meets Sheena, and now they have this perfect family. So I'm sure they probably feel replaced. Like, you see a lot of that.
For sure. And I don't know if there's been an update since they did a little flash to the reunion of essentially his ex-wife wants him to get 100% caught up on child support before she reinitiates contact. And from everything I've seen when they've addressed it, he is actively working on it, but also refuses to take money from Sheena to get caught up.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to do it himself. And I find that admirable.
I agree. I agree. He is saying all the right things. Mm-hmm. So he very well could be doing exactly what he's saying and being respectful and, trying to put his best foot forward with his ex-wife. I really, 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 really hope that's the case.
Yeah, we're just two random people on the internet. We can't for sure know
right. What
is really going on.
Okay, but here's some information that bothers me. Brock's daughter, her name is Winter Sky, and Summer Moon's birthday is the same day.
Now, the Summer Moon's birthday being the same day is literally coincidence.
No, it's not.
Did she have a scheduled C-section?
Yes, she did. She was interviewed and quoted as saying she was given 3 dates all in a row, and she picked that one because she thought it would bring the girls closer together. I do not know what Kool-Aid she was fucking drinking, but absolutely not.
No, not. Like, if she had, like, gone into natural labor and it just so happened that way, that would be one thing. Be like, okay, well, you can't plan when your body decides to release the tiny human into the world.
Yeah.
But when you have a scheduled C-section, like, yeah, maybe don't pick the estranged child's birthday. Yeah. It's probably not a great...
It's so inappropriate. It's so inappropriate.
I don't love... I'm going to be really mean to a child on the internet that I have never met. I think the name Summer Moon is dumb, but there's also a coffee shop here that is called Summer Moon. Mm-hmm. So when I hear it, I think of the coffee shop.
So here's my thing about the names. If it's just like a naming style, I would hope that it came from Brock. Like, he wanted to name it that because of X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. If it came from his ex-wife and that's why his daughter was named that, and then Sheena's trying to hop on the bandwagon and make them closer by mimicking the name pattern, that's crossing a line.
Mm-hmm. But if I don't disagree with you.
If it was Brock and it... I mean, he's from Australia. I have no idea what his heritage or culture is, but maybe it has something to do with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no idea. But if it was from Brock, fine. Like, it's still a little weird. Mm-hmm. But, I feel like it was Sheena.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just thought it was manipulation.
It's weird.
It was manipulative. Mm-hmm. It was such a manipulative move on her part.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's almost like if I give him some kind of carbon copy of what he's lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how it feels to me.
Yeah. And I don't like it. I didn't like it. He clearly regrets his behavior. So
mm-hmm.
I also like how he said he wanted to talk to the therapist. It sounds like they go somewhat regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate the fact that it wasn't like a bad conversation. There was no fighting. There was no crying. Like, they both left happy.
There were emotional tears from the conversation, but no one was like upset.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. Like, that's really nice to see.
Mm-hmm. I do appreciate how mature their relationship is.
Yes. As annoying as Sheena is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give her that one. Everything else, like, she needs to grow the fuck up.
Sheena is a very extra person.
Yes.
And she found somebody who can handle it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's that Elise Myers saying? Like, if I'm too much, go find less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that is to each their own. Like, people can handle it and some people can't.
Yeah.
Brock's got it. He's good.
Brock can handle it.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Good for Sheena, too, for finding somebody that fits her.
And that they're able to have, like, so many times we see these TV reality show couples just having horrible conversations.
I think if we watched The Valley, we would see a lot of that.
I think so, too. But you know what I mean? Like, it's nice. It's refreshing to see them not, like,
at each other's throats.
Yeah, and communicating really unhealthily.
Yeah. All right. Let's see where we're going next. You ready?
Let's do it.
So Schwartz gets another tattoo.
Of Butters and Gordo. I can get on board with that.
I do like it. I like how he's like, all my loves have been converted to tattoos. It is a very select group of people.
Yeah, but two of them are on his ass cheeks. So
true.
He sits on two of them every day.
Yeah. Lisa and Katie.
Yeah, at least he's not sitting on Butters and Gordo.
Yeah. So we hear about the San Francisco whiskey launch for Kyle Chan.
We get to hear good as gold again.
Again. Everyone, like, when they say everyone, they're talking about the cast. Everyone's going.
Mm-hmm. It's the cast trip.
Yeah, it's the cast trip. Even though I feel like we kind of got one in Tahoe. A little bit.
Ariana wasn't there.
True. True. The way Sandoval was describing it sounded like a kid to me.
Because he's a child.
Again, true. So he also brings up the fucking roommate thing with Schwartz again.
Those two absolutely cannot live together.
No. I think Schwartz knows that, though. He was like, he was trying so nicely to say,
no,
abso-fucking-lutely not. It's a bad financial decision. And even like when he gets his talking head, he's very much trying to be nice and diplomatic about it. But he's like, no. Not on board in the slightest.
No.
So James and Allie go to the face gym.
Face gym. It's just a weird facial.
Yeah. It sounds like they use a little TENS unit on their face, too. Mm-hmm. I will say I feel bad for James because I was like connecting the dots as he was talking. I think James is the one that's traumatized because his dog was taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
But also, Allie said something to the effect of, like, you need to give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think James is scared that if he asks someone to watch him and the person gets bit or whatever, it'll turn into this big thing and then they'll take the dog away. But it sounds like they're trying really hard to work on his behaviors. But I think James is genuinely terrified of the dog being taken away from him. And I think he needs to chill a little bit.
I think they could, you know, either find a house sitter or find somebody who is more experienced with dogs that can take Graham or Hippie in for a few days. As a person who owns a very reactive dog, she cannot be around other dogs because it is just not a good situation. She's never like tried to bite a dog or anything. She's just, her energy does not mix well with other dogs. Like, it is a challenge to find dog sitters, but you got to just do it.
Yeah. No, we have the same problem. In two different ways. It's so annoying. One of my dogs is so anxious. She's on like a full grown human size anti-anxiety medication. If you sneeze too loudly, she shakes. It's ridiculous. It's getting a little better with the medicine. And then we have an Australian Shepherd who is like, has no sense of boundary with other dogs. And they don't like it. And she tries to herd them all. And so she pisses all the dogs off and she ends up getting, like, she's super submissive too, but mm-hmm. it just, like, she doesn't understand. She needs to leave others the fuck alone. Mm-hmm. So anyway, too much. It's causing stress on James and Allie's relationship.
Mm-hmm. Cause Allie's used to sleeping with the kitty cats, mm-hmm. but they can't cuddle puddle all together. So Allie goes in the guest room to sleep with the cats. And, like, it's not, like, as a person who used to have my cat sleep in the bed with me, and now my dog sleeps in the bed with me, but it does not work to have all three together. Mm-hmm. It is an adjustment to not have that, like, additional time, like, with my other animals.
See, I've never really been a fan of letting the dog sleep in the bed with me.
Yeah, we made a mistake.
But anyway, I also love that Lala's getting gray hairs.
Yeah, that's like, it was like a flash in the pan little scene.
Super quick, but I was like,
they're all in their like upper 30s and 40s. Yeah.
No, Lala's in her like early 30s.
But like, it's time.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
As a redhead, I do not have this problem, but.
Oh, I do. I have dark hair.
Yes. But legitimately, people who have red hair, their hair holds onto their pigmentation much longer.
Oh, I agree.
Than other.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think I'll have giant white stripes on my temples.
Dude, you should let that happen. That would be so cool.
No, it makes me look way older. Absolutely
I
not.
I think it would make you look way cooler. No. But... what do I know?
No, thanks. No, I'm not there. Then we get a cute little scene with Ariana and her mm-hmm. boyfriend, which I feel like this is like the first time we've kind of.
She's talked to him, like FaceTime with him before, but we haven't gotten a lot with him.
No, it's been like super quick glimpses, and I don't feel like it was a full conversation that she was having with him. So, but she invites him to San Francisco.
Yes, to cuddle. She's like not going to force him into the group.
Yeah, fair, because that's like a really intimidating situation.
Yeah,
but did you like how when he asked about the counter offer, she said that it was a good sign he was meeting with a realtor,
and then he was meeting with them about something yep. entirely different?
He's like not even gonna follow through on his original offer now. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that brings us to the brunch at Sir.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go see, find out what happens and see who shows up.
Hopefully everyone.
Hopefully. So Jax is back at Sir.
It's brunch time.
It's brunch time. And he has to go kiss Lisa's feet. But before we get there... did you catch the combo, like what happened with Guillermo and Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
She caught him red fucking handed lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
That was bold.
Mom, she's a good businesswoman. She's a smart cookie.
I think it was funny because James didn't even mean to. He just was like, it seemed like he was just telling Lisa about it. Mm-hmm. And it like absolutely threw him under the bus. Totally by accident. It was hilarious. Well,
if you tell the truth, you have to remember a lot less.
True. Very true. But we also get a nice little Jax and Lisa montage about him being an asshole.
And just a general dumbass.
Yeah. And Lisa, I almost feel like he sees her in some kind of like mother type figure.
1,000%. He said like, so much at his wedding.
Yes. But his reaction. I mean, I'm kind of jumping to the end of their conversation a little bit. Like he does show up. We get this, you know, nice little montage. He shows up and they almost immediately start arguing.
Yeah. Because he said some not nice things.
He did. Now, granted, I kind of agree with him about Lisa being superfluous on the show.
Yeah, but like she's an EP. She created the show. Right. Like if she wants to be in every other episode, so be it.
Right. I think you could do it without her. And we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. I think you could do it without her. I don't hate her showing up.
No, I don't think she has any actual involvement in most of their lives.
No, definitely not. I think they all see her as some kind of like friend in a way. But I really think Jax sees her in a much more maternal way.
Yeah. But he also worked there like a very long time, like longer than pretty much everybody else.
But yeah, it felt a little bad. Like he just, he can't fucking shut up. He cannot help himself. It just like comes out of his mouth. And I don't even think he means it.
Yeah, he's the definition of open mouth, insert foot.
Yeah, every fucking time. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous. It was James walking away from that conversation was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, so like, can he stay? That god, made me laugh. James. Oh my god. So then I guess they must have had their little set. And then once they finish up, I guess Jax kind of did his thing and then walked away and left James to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
But he shows up
to press buttons on his laptop.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, like we said, man made it to Coachella. He did it.
He's doing something right.
So Jax goes and does what he does best and gossips with the girls.
Oh, he's the biggest gossip.
It's so funny. He's like the nosiest lady you have ever met in your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to tell on people, too. He enjoys it so much.
She loves spilling tea more than anyone I've ever met in my life.
He immediately tells Ariana that Schwartz is thinking about moving into the house. Actually, he says it like he is moving into it.
Yeah, not like he, because like they play a little bit of the conversation. And
based off that, I would have agreed with what Jax was saying. But
but also Schwartz said like he gave me a like, I don't remember exactly the word he used, but essentially like an idiotic offer.
Yeah, no, I agree. I know Schwartz wasn't going to do it. So I don't know at what point like it.
I don't know. When Ariana has a fabulous reaction of not giving a shit as long as she gets her money.
She calls it the Mojo Dojo Casa House.
Sure does. Somebody saw Barbie.
Yes, she did. Oh, I loved that. That put a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
We get a brief interaction between James and Sandoval, and it seems like they've come to some kind of weird, jabby, frenemy truce.
I literally don't care.
Yeah. Then we go to James, where I think a lot of shit's going to go down.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a not great place because it starts out with the girls sitting inside and James comes in and they try to talk to him about leaving Hippie with a dog sitter because like Allie deserves to have her partner go with her.
She does.
To an important wedding, which I 1000% agree with. But I see where James is coming from. You know, you have to remember, like, when he and Rachel broke up, she just, like, was like, you can't see the dog anymore. And I think you got to see him once.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after she took not great care of him.
Yeah.
So it's like, I understand where James is coming from.
I do, like, too.
With the anxiety. It is. I mean, I don't have children. But I sincerely doubt it is anything like traveling away from your children.
He says that. Part of me thinks it's because I think he wants kids.
Oh, he does.
So I think that right now, Hippie is that for him. Like, that's his replacement, which is, again, I think partially why he's having a strong reaction. It's also because of the circumstances of how Hippie left and like what the damage is now that he has to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think he is scared of Hippie doing something that could have negative repercussions. So
for sure,
I, I get it, but I'm still on the girl's side that
I think they were handling that with a lot of care, though.
I do, too. I thought they were being really giving him a lot of grace, and I think he clearly needed it in the moment.
I think they all understand, like, he is not coping with this concept well, and where he agrees with them that Allie deserves more, he's having an internal struggle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Did you hear the Spice Girls comment?
I know. They were all trying to figure out who was going to be which Spice Girl.
It was sad.
I'm sorry. Sheena is Baby Spice.
Absolutely. 1,000%. I agree that Katie is posh.
Yes. Lala is definitely Scary Spice.
I could have seen her in Sporty Spice as well.
I would put Ariana in Sporty Spice. Because,
you know what? I agree. You're correct.
Yeah. Because Lala can be scary.
Yeah, she can. Yeah, she can.
Mm-hmm.
So we get also, then we get this whole
Jax confronting Katie about Katie reading things on the internet about him.
Well, James kind of started it and walks over to Katie and is like, hey, are you going to talk to Jax?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this was like, all right, like, let's get this over with so we can enjoy ourselves because this has to be filmed because this is on the sheet or whatever. I don't know, because it seemed like a weird way to start this combo.
Yeah, this definitely felt like we have to have this conversation. Can we just do it?
Also, real quick, I also felt that way when Jax was like, yeah, I have to sit down. Because I think he literally did for production.
Yep.
So, yeah, I feel like it's the same situation here. But yeah, he's lashing out on behalf of Brittany, and I just think it's him deflecting.
But Katie straight up says, like, she doesn't have any issues with Brittany. It's her shitty husband.
Yes.
I was
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. 100%. I don't know. I think he did. If I'm being honest, just based off past behavior and based on how he's reacting right now, it's
sus.
Yes, it's very suspicious. Like, you're protesting a lot.
And it reminds me a lot of when he cheated on Stassi.
Yeah. Yeah. And Katie, again, was just repeating what she was already on the internet. She wasn't
like she posted anything.
Yeah, no, it was already out there. And I think he's just pissed because it put a spotlight on it. So,
well,
it's his fault.
Don't put your dick where it doesn't belong and nothing bad happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get the rest of this.
Let's do it.
So you ready for the last stretch?
Yeah. Here is my sentiment. Fuck Tom Sandoval.
Absolutely.
I don't like the concept of hating people because, like, I don't think you should hold hate in your body because it doesn't do anything productive. And, like, I would never wish someone dead because it's, like, really yucky also to me. But I really want him to, like, get a paper cut on every finger every day.
That would be awful.
Yeah. Live a long and prosperous life, but every single day you have paper cuts and, like, one of those really painful hangnails.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stubs his toe on, like, a sharp corner of furniture every day.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Like, all of his fingernails would fall off and toenails.
I kind of understood at first where he was coming from with Sheena, like, calling her out.
Yes, because it's been 6 months. Why are you still talking about it?
Yes.
The theme of this season is supposed to be his redemption arc.
But also, he does have a point. We have all been saying, Sheena, stop making it about you. It's not about you. This, like, yes. The restraining order sucks, but, like, you are letting this overtake you. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to.
Mm. But then he has to go and pull out the, well, you've been the other woman before statement. And though accurate, it is not the same.
Absolutely not.
Sheena being a dumb 21-year-old is not the same as Tom Sandoval cheating on his long-term girlfriend with one of her friends.
It being significantly older. He's in his 40s. So he absolutely knew better. Sheena was a young idiot. A lot of them did dumb shit in their early 20s. Like, everybody does dumb shit in their early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous.
So ridiculous.
He's never gonna... I don't know how Bravo thought that they could give this man a redemption arc. I really because don't.
They favor the men super hard.
It's so gross.
I would have much rather had a girl power season.
Absolutely. Like the,
this is what we got.
What we saw at the end, like all of them rallying around Sheena mm-hmm. and being supportive. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see mm-hmm. the whole group like that. And it's disgusting the way that it has all been manipulated into what we see now. Where
yeah.
Katie and Ariana are holding people accountable. I think the rest of the cast are, excuse me, James and Allie are doing the best they can to
be Switzerland.
Be Switzerland. I mean, I don't think they really are Switzerland. I think that they've made it clear, like, I'm very much team Ariana, but I have to work with you. So we're going to like push through kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet they're having side conversations with Ariana and being like, listen, this is mm-hmm. not real. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that they are actually repairing anything.
No.
But the rest of the cast, I feel like, is, I don't know.
Wouldn't say they're like necessarily turning on Ariana, but I feel like they're just.
I don't even
falling
yeah.
to like, they're like, okay, I have to deal with him. So I might as well get along with him instead of like, I am going to do what they ask me to do and nothing more.
Yeah. It's like, they're giving their stamp of approval on this redemption arc. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's like, are you actually okay with this or not? And then yeah. like Lala's recent hate campaign against mm-hmm. Ariana is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ariana might say stuff on the show and I don't think she has been ugly about anyone when interviewed or asked, and she isn't volunteering any of it.
No,
it's not like she's on a press tour, like going around talking about the one specific thing. She's talking about Dancing with the Stars and Chicago and all of that stuff. And she does get asked about it, but she doesn't ever really go into like the nasty, negative mudslinging. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's exactly what Lala's doing. And I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Lala's clearly off her soft phase.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping she's just like raging with pregnancy hormones, and when the baby pops out, she'll go back to her better self.
I hope so. Because I was singing her praises at the beginning of the season. I love Lala, and I mm-hmm. don't like what I'm seeing right now. And it's really disappointing.
No.
I did see like a recording of her Amazon Live that she did, and she got kind of upset. She was like, I'm aware that I'm getting backlash. And she's like, I'm just trying to stay in my bubble. And I respect that because I don't wish stress or anything on her. I want her to have like a very healthy pregnancy. But at the same time, I don't know why you thought that that was a good idea. Like, it feels like she got she let the jealousy get the better of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then now she feels like she can't backpedal.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's disappointing because I really like her and I think this is stupid.
I agree.
Any final thoughts?
No. fuck Tom Sandoval.
He's a worm with a mustache.
Oh my God.
Walking trash.
Like, bag of human garbage. Like, worthless. Waste of sperm and egg.
Oh my God. I don't understand it. What's he going to do when the show ends?
Be part of Tom and the Most Extras and be the worst cover band in LA.
He's so bad at singing. Also, Brock did point out the whole like Schwartz's mom, Stacy's mom thing, which is absolutely true. He's doing the same fucking thing. Yes. So, well,
I think we're going to have to call it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you want to check out what is coming up next on the pod, be sure to give us a follow over on Instagram. It's Mel and Jill Geek Out. Or if you have a suggestion of what we should be geeking out about next, shoot us an email over at jillandmelgeekout@gmail.com. Once again, my name is Melissa.
And I'm Jill.
And this has been Mel and Jill Geek Out. Bye, guys.
Bye.